Hi and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth generation homeopath with over 25 years of professional experience and practice in this field of healing. The Homeopathy Health Show is the online voice of homeopathy around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing, which is suitable for all ages, young and old. Every week, I invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy. Why not visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast button to listen to the latest episodes. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show with me, Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, here on the UK Health Radio Network, the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Dr. Subrata Banerjee to today's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. He is actually a fourth generation homeopath, widely respected across the homeopathic fraternity indeed. He originally graduated in homeopathy from the University of Calcutta, with a record number of honours passes in 9 medical subjects and 5 gold medals to his name. Amazing. Now, his particular gift is to combine practical homeopathy with profound intuition and the experience, of course, of 4 generations of homeopathic prescribers. His Living Materia Medica imitations for comparison of remedies are rare treats to indeed watch and hear. Dr. Subrata Banerjee is also the principal for the Allen College of Homeopathy, which is based in Essex in the UK. Now, I do hope that over the last week, which has certainly been Homeopathy Awareness Week 2024, you've been able to tune in to the Homeopathy Health Show. Over the last couple of weeks, I've had a 2-part special on the theme of studying homeopathy. And I had the good fortune to interview 4 students from years 1, 2, 3, and of course 4 from the School of Homeopathy in the UK, principal being Manny Norland. And you can find these, of course, on all the podcast platforms. So do tune in. It really was an opportunity to give you a real-time perspective of what it's like to study homeopathy across the board as such, across the years, as far as a 4-year homeopathic course is concerned. And similarly, I also had the good fortune to do my other companion series to this show, this podcast, which is called Homeopathic Voices from Around the World. And I did a YouTube live with the students and co-principals from South Down School of Homeopathy. And that was just brilliant. So you'll find that on YouTube. Just search for my user handle, which is @like_treatslike. Of course, you can go to my Instagram and you'll find all the links to my social media accounts. Do remember to follow and like the reels on Instagram. Everything that I do as far as advocating for homeopathy in healthcare worldwide, the Homeopathy Health Show, and also the series, the companion series, Homeopathic Voices from Around the World, which goes out on YouTube. All the links are there, and all the, a living visual portfolio, guest comments, reels, promotions, snippets from the podcasts, snippets from Homeopathic Voices series. So do tune in. I'm sure you'll be in for a treat. So without further ado, let's move to my guest for this episode, Dr. Subrata Banerjee. Dr. Subrata Banerjee, thank you so very much for joining me on today's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. It's a great honor to have you on the show. I'm delighted.
Thank you, Atiq. Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure. And it's always a pleasure and privilege to promote classical homeopathy around the world, with which I and my generations of homeopaths in my family. And once again, thank you for inviting me. The homeopathy in my family started with my great-great-grandfather. He was a homeopath, but at that time there was no college. He was just interested in homeopathy. My great-great-grandfather was a homeopathic assistant an interpreter of Dr. Salger. Salger was a German homeopath practicing in Calcutta, my home city back in India. And Dr. Salger was looking for someone who can understand a little bit of homeopathy and also can translate for his cases. So that was the introduction of homeopathy in my family. Dr. Salger was a very renowned homeopath at that time. And before Dr. Salger left India, he asked my great-great-grandfather that I am going back to Germany. What I can give to you? You were so loyal, so good with me. So my great-great-grandfather asked that, why don't I start a homeopathic dispensing chemist or homeopathic pharmacy with your name, Salger and Company? Then Salger said, no, don't use my name. Use the name of my good friend, and his name is Charles Ringer. So that was the starting of C. Ringer and Company. Many who are in India listening to this, they have heard the name of C. Ringer and Company, which was in the downtown, in the center of Calcutta. And that carried on for over 100 years. Anyway, so my great-great-grandfather passed his wisdom to his son, my granddad, who have had the privilege to learn his miasms and Metromedica by sitting at the lotus feet of Dr. John Henry Allen back in the United States. So my granddad and Dr. N. M. Chaudhary, Nagendra Mohan Chaudhary, he has a wonderful book, N. M. Chaudhary's Metromedica. So my granddad, Kishori Mohan Banerjee, and N. M. Chaudhary went to the US together. And my granddad studied with John Henry Allen. And those who are acquainted with John Henry Allen's book on Sora Pseudosora, he dedicated that book to my Indian students. So I suppose in his mind, obviously, amongst his Indian students, my granddad was there. So since then, the introduction of miasm came in my family because John Henry Allen gave us the fourth miasm, the tubercular miasm. So my granddad brought that wisdom back to India, once again to Kolkata or Calcutta, and started a homeopathic college as early as 1918, 1920, along with Dr. N.M. Chaudhary. Those two friends started, and they were thinking of what would be the name of the college. And my granddad liked to give respect, pay homage to his guru, who is Allen. So they started the college in the name of Bengal Allen Homeopathic College. And one of the very renowned homeopaths, Dr. Kapikar. Dr. Kapikar is from southern India, and he has written a book, My 70 Years Experience. And if you look in Kapikar's book, he was the student, one of the brightest students of Bengal Allen. So Kapikar graduated from Calcutta. And then those days, and even now, Calcutta is known as Mecca of Metromedica. I will come to that in a moment. So my granddad practiced for a very long time, passed his wisdom to his eldest son, my uncle. My uncle practiced for 52 years. He was a physician to the governor of West Bengal. He was a very senior homeopath, and he carried on the flag of homeopathy. And then he passed that wisdom to me. My dad is a medical doctor. He's a microbiologist. But he was a homeopath as well. He did his DMS in those days, Diploma in Homeopathic Medicine. But he was more a microbiologist, but he used to lecture in the Midnapur Homeopathic Medical College. So there is obviously a connection. And I am the fourth generation in the family. And also there is an interesting aspect about my homeopathy, because I was the very first homeopathy graduates in the entire country. India is a big country, as you know. And Calcutta University started homeopathy as a graduate program, which is BHMS, Bachelor in Homeopathic Medicine and Surgery, which is a 5 years full-time, 6 days a week, full-time course. And that the University of Calcutta started that in 1976. And I was the first graduate of the, I mean, the first batch of the graduates of the Calcutta University of with holding the qualification of BHMS. In India, the BHMS doctors are regarded at par with the regular medical doctors, can write a death certificate and all that. So that's an interesting aspect that we were the first homeopathic graduates. And after that, many other states and universities have taken up homeopathy as their full-time five-year program. Right now, it is a 4.5-year program. So my homeopathy is interesting way I say it. It's a simple homeopathy. I say simple homeopathy works, simple and practical. So what is simple? I do not offer any particular method. I offer the method of Hahnemann, method of King. So it's the totality of symptom. And that works. I'm doing homeopathy for 45 years now. I am in the UK for last almost 30 years. But I have had the privilege of having a very, very busy practice in the UK. I travel at least three, sometimes four times a year to India, to Kolkata, because we run a medical center there. I run a charity over there as well, which is a slum clinic. And it's very interesting to observe the Eastern homeopathy and the Western homeopathy. Because in Eastern homeopathy, as soon as I land Kolkata, I see 60 patients a day. Over here in the UK, you cannot dream of it. You cannot imagine it. So, you know, it's a different approach. But at the end of the day, it's the same simple homeopathy works. That means what I do, I combine the miasm, understanding of the miasm with the totality. In my book, Miasmatic Prescribing, which is published by Jain Publishers of New Delhi, in my book, I mention MTEC. M stands for miasmatic totality. So in each and every chronic case, I diagnose the miasm. What is the surface miasm? And I match that with the totality SN skin or tech. So if I get a good totality, I will go with it. If I get a good essence of the person, this is Atik was saying about the intuition. Sometimes I will just go how the patient looks like, when the patient booked the appointment, how he behaved, how he walks. Interesting, I'm a man of stories. Atik was mentioning about the audience love stories. You know, those my students know in every lecture I share at least 4 or 5 stories, real clinical stories. When I was with my uncle, if he used to go to a cinema or even at the, you know, train station or a airport, my uncle would have asked me, who is he and who is she? Meaning, I have to answer in terms of, well, he is Mr. Latvonka because he's walking like this, and she is Mrs. Pulsatilla because she's behaving like that. And that was my introduction of behavioral metromedica, which I love and adore. The behavioral metromedica comes from Kent again. Kent used to say like that, and that has been written down by Dr. Gladwin. And the name of the book is People of the Metromedica World. In People of the Metromedica World, it's like a barbecue where Colocynth is inviting Naxvamika and how they get on and how they behave. I love it. And I depend a lot on that. Atik, I don't know repertory, though I got honors marks at the university, but I hardly touch a repertory. In Calcutta, when I see 60 cases, perhaps once in amongst those 60 cases, I will open my repertory. But I don't like to say I know my metromedica, but I love my metromedica. And my approach, which is also the typical approach of the masters, I will go with Kent, I will mention about it, is knowing your metromedica and prescribing on the essence of that. And that's what I call essence. So essence means the gesture, posture, behavior, how they talk, etc. Even Those who are acquainted with Saptarshi's video YouTube videos, Saptarshi did a YouTube video on cough sounds. I used to teach him that for cough, you don't ask any symptom, you just listen to cough and prescribe. Let me tell you a story for that. This was, I was sitting in with my uncle and I was helping him in the clinic. And as I always say to my students, there is a gap between the cup and the lip, meaning what you learn in the books. And when you prescribe, the application is sometimes a little different. You have to understand this. You have to understand the theme. You have to understand the essence. So I was watching my uncle and his approach of prescribing. He was a very, very classical prescriber. One patient in the waiting room was coughing very loudly, very loud cough. And he could hear that from the consulting room. So he was in the waiting room. He asked me, who is coughing there? I said, Uncle, that's a new patient waiting to see you. He has traveled over 100 miles. And you know, in India, that's always the case. You know, the people travel from the next state and even, you know, from Nepal, from Bangladesh to Kolkata, etc. So my uncle said, go and ask him that while coughing, does he get any symptom, like any pain or anything like that? I said, why are you asking me this? Because he's waiting. And you'll be seeing this patient. So please don't ask me, you know, because you need to see the patient. But I suppose he had something in his mind to teach me that how you can make prescription as well. He's insisted me to go and ask him the question. So I said, Senior Dr. Banerjee is asking that while you are coughing quite a bit, and it's a very, very loud cough. So Senior Dr. Banerjee is asking that along with the cough, do you have any symptoms? He said, yes, while I cough, I have a lot of pain in my thighs and legs especially. So I came in, I said to my uncle, he says this, that he gets a lot of pain while coughing. My uncle wrote the prescription. He hasn't seen the patient. It's a new patient. My uncle wrote the prescription and said, give it to him. I said, what are you doing? You haven't seen the patient. But he has such a reputation that anything he writes, people used to believe that, you know, it will work. He insisted. And this is a very difficult job for me to tell the patient, well, your prescription is done. My uncle hasn't seen you, but he has made his mind. So I had to go out and say, this is your prescription. You'll get it dispensed here, et cetera, et cetera. My uncle prescribed capsicum, 200. And if you look in your Metro Medicas, you will see it's mentioned now, very loud cough. And while coughing, pain in distant parts. He prescribed that. And to my utter surprise, that patient came back approximately after 6 weeks. And his coughing was 80-85% better. And I said, you're better. That medicine worked. He said, oh my God, it's really powerful. I want some more of that. You know, so that's simple homeopathy. That how I was brought up, that you listen, you hear, you see, you prescribe. And that's the wonderful aspect of the simple homeopathy. I'd like to tell you another story. I just graduated. And I finished my 5 years of my homeopathic training. I asked my uncle that I have done the program. I sat in with you. Can you recommend me to somebody else with whom I like to sit another year or so before I start my own practice? He recommended one of his friends who is about 40 miles from the city of Calcutta. And in those days, early 80s, 40 miles traveling in India used to take at least 3 hours. I mean, it has totally changed now. Those, you know, if you have been there recently, you know, I mean, there are big shopping malls and everything, you know, but that's not the point. So as you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, leave home by 6, get there by 9. And the first day I went there, I saw there's a tiny consulting room, tiny waiting room. The waiting room is like 8-10 feet long and 3 feet wide, like a small strip of waiting room with a wooden bench, which can hardly accommodate 8-10 patients. But there is an outfield outside the waiting room where I saw there are about 40-50 people. And I thought there might be a fair going on. You know, in India, we call it Mela. There might be a fair going on. And there are tea vendors, samosa vendors selling tea and food. And I couldn't understand what is that. And later on, I understood that actually he's waiting. So all these patients. So his system was first 100, meaning he sees 100 patients a day. And his assistant used to put a clipboard, you know, the clipboard with a clip and the paper. His assistant used to put a clipboard outside his clinic, hang it outside. And believe me, from 4 o'clock, people used to queue, 4 o'clock in the morning. And generally by 7 o'clock, 100 names are entered. No appointment system. It's almost he was testing the patience of the patient. That you come blinking 4 o'clock in the morning and wait. So I went. Tiny consulting room. He gave me a small stool. He said, Dr. Banerjee sent you. You are his nephew. I said, yes, sir. So I sat there. It's a stool, no backrest. And I thought, oh my God, 8-9 hours in that stool. Anyway, you know how it goes in India. It's like a guru and a disciple. So more you are dedicated, wisdom will be flooded upon you. So with that, I was listening, watching him, observing him. The first patient came. The system was, he has a brass bell on his desk. Tung! And there was a man who is his assistant standing in the doorway. And there is a filthy curtain there, no door actually. Halfway this side in the consulting room and halfway in the waiting room. And he was almost like getting the patient who had been seen from the consulting room, throwing him out and getting the next one in because he has to finish 100. The first patient came, spent 3-4 minutes looking at the nails, started looking at the nails, sometimes toenails. Bryonia, 200. Tongue, next. Lycopodium, 200. Looking at the nails, hardly asking 4 or 5 questions, you know. So I spent 5 days of that week. And at the weekend, I saw my uncle. I said to him, I thought you loved me. My uncle smiled at me, grinned at me and said, why? I said, yeah, I thought you loved me. But, you know, I actually wasted 5 days of my life because this man looks at the nail and prescribed Bryonia and Lycopodium. I have no clue what he's doing. He said, did you ask? I said, no, because, you know, I don't like to appear to be stupid. I was coming back home at 9 o'clock at night and reading in the Metro Medicals that what are the nail symptoms of Bryonia, nail symptoms of Lycopodium. I couldn't find anything. He again smiled at me, my uncle, and said, go back. I said, are you sure? I actually wasted my time. He said, no, go back and I will talk to him. So I still remember that day. Next Monday, following Monday, I was there again, 9 o'clock. He offered me that stool. sitting on that stool, and he looked at me and said, "You don't understand what I'm doing." I said, "I'm sorry, sir." I said, "I thought you stood first in the university, so why don't you understand?" I said, "I'm sorry, sir. I can't follow you." He said, "Yes, your uncle said that to me." Okay. Tongue, the first patient. I still remember that first patient. The patient came in and said, "I have pain here." He was showing with a finger in the epigastrium, in the stomach area. "I have pain here." I went to the doctor. They have done an x-ray. In those days, it was barium x-ray. And they found gastric ulcer. And they want to operate. "I don't like the surgery, so I came to you." So this is the story. I still remember. He asked, "So you have pain exactly over there?" You know, showed his finger on the stomach area. He said, "Yes." By that time, he grabbed his nail. He started looking at the nails. He looked at the toenails. Kelly bichromicum 200. Tongue. Maximum 4 or 5 minutes. New patient. Tongue. Meaning the bell goes. Meaning your tongue is over. I said, "Sir, I understand the pain can be covered by the tip of the finger. That's Calibic, but there are a few other medicines as well. So why or how you came to Calibic?" He said, he has been x-rayed and it has been found that there is a gastric ulcer. So ulcer is syphilitic. So in Calibic, you will find round the ulcer. And I looked at the nail, and the nail, the surface miasm to the nails, I can see syphilitic. Right? He taught me dry, harsh nails are sorry. He taught me thick nails, wavy nails, like there are bumps, which is proliferation. Thick, that is proliferation. He taught me wavy nails, thick nails. He taught me convex nails like this are psychotic. He taught me spoon-shaped nail like concave. Spoon-shaped nails are syphilitic. Pock marks on the nails are syphilitic. Grooves or channels on the nails, which is destruction. I put all these in my book on miasmatic prescribing. Channels on the nails are syphilitic. He taught me glossy nails are tubercular. White spots on the nails are tubercular. You don't believe it. I came from the family who are very, very thorough in case taking. Like here in the UK, I spend for half an hour to 40 minutes on case taking. I have a thick 22-page booklet, which I give to all of my patients to fill in. But how this person is doing this, and all these 100 people are queuing up, spending money, queuing up from 4 o'clock. They must be getting results. I stayed with that man for 9 months after that. A versatile genius. He quickly combining the miasm with the totality. He diagnosed the miasm and combining that knowledge with the totality. And believe me, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about one of my guru. This Dr. Hassan was having 80 to 85% of the success because all these patients are queuing up and getting results. And that opened up a new dimension that you can do like that. And before I hand it back to you, if you ask another question, I'd like to share this with you. This is very, very important. I think during the COVID time, about 2 years back, I don't know, 2020, I suppose, 2021 might be, I received a phone call. I do see patients from different parts of the world. I received a phone call from a homeopath in America. And he said, my secretary generally picks up the phone and she told me that this man is a homeopath and asking for a repertory session with you. So I thought he want me to do private tuition of repertory, which is not my subject. I don't know. So he's then I take the I took the phone as he's a homeopath. I said, what you are asking? He said, I want to book a repertory session with you. And then I understood actually he'd like to book a consultation. He said, I said, why you are saying repertory session? He said, because I'm a homeopath and all the homeopaths I went here in the US, and one or two, obviously I won't name it, one or two in Europe, they all say and spend time in going through the rubrics and asking a question, checking the rubrics either in the book or in the computer, etc., etc. So I thought that's the system. So I said, I hardly look at my repertory. And obviously, I booked the consultation and gone through with it. But that actually provoked my insight, my thoughts, that why people are so dependent on repertory. Because back in Calcutta, which we call the Mecca of Materia Medica, and we have had one of my teachers at the university was Dr. Dubey, and everybody in India knows the name of Dr. Dubey. Dubey is to be known as giant of Materia Medica, and he was the direct student of Dr. B.K. Bose. B.K. Bose was the direct student of Kent. There were 2-3 homeopaths at that time when I learned at the university in Calcutta, who were the direct student of B.K. Bose or direct student of Kent. So I started doing a research that how come in the Western world, everything is repertory oriented. They teach repertory so strongly, prominently. Before I go to that, I'd just like to mention this. I said that my program, BHMS program, in those days, the first batch was 5 year full time. The second year, you appear at the university exam, they call first BHMS. I stood first in that. So I thought I know a little bit of my Materia Medica and other subjects. In the third year, I went to my Materia Medica class with my Materia Medica book and Kent's repertory. Dr. Dubey came in the class. Dr. Dubey is a Materia Medica man. He said, Subrata, what is that book on your desk? I said, sir, Kent's repertory. Disrespect to Kent, but you should never look at your dictionary before learning your language. Your Materia Medica is a literature. You learn your literature first. And repertory is a dictionary. What a wonderful way of explaining it. And that's still in my mind. So I did an extensive research and I've gone through many homeopathic history book. One of the very famous one was written by Julian Winston of Philadelphia in the United States, The Facets of Homeopathy and all that. And I found, to my utter surprise, Kent used to see about 50 to 60 patients a day. And I have plenty of reference where I found it. And you cannot see, in those days, there was no computer. And you cannot see that amount of patient by using repertory. And even in his Materia Medica, in few places he quoted, I'm quoting from Hearing Guiding Center. So he had the Materia Medica in his head. And that is the approach of Calcutta's homeopathy. My uncle used to say, you need to know 50 to 60 medicines, the body crest, like a mother knows her baby, and you'll be a good homeopath. So in Allen College, in my undergraduate and postgraduate courses, I immerse my students in the ocean of Materia Medica. And I want my students to understand the essence of each and every medicine. And when I say essence, I especially take them to the old classic literatures, starting from Margaret Tyler's drug teaching. Anam Chowdhury is mathematics. Nash is leaders, and obviously Kent, old literatures, because they are the chain. I take them back to the foundation. And I believe if they have a solid foundation, they can practice homeopathy with confidence. So that's my simple homeopathy. Following Kent, following good old masters. I do not have a particular method. My method is the method with which homeopathy stood and will stand for 200 and 500 more years. Many approach and ideas will come and go, but the classical homeopathy will survive. Let me share that with you with confidence. And that has happened. And the way I say practical, I say simple and practical homeopathy. That's what I teach and I practice.
Thank you so very much for coming on the show and sharing these incredible stories and incredible insights.
You're welcome, Atik, and it's a pleasure and privilege to be with you and your audience, and I appreciate that. And thank you to you for promoting homeopathy throughout the world, and that's great. You know, we should carry on this flag of alternative medicine, especially homeopathy, and which is a great science.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike, and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab. Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet, or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.